The sermon I want to preach, it's not an easy one, and it's not my original one. Now, I haven't taken the words of somebody else and, stolen them, if you will, or borrowed them. But what I want to do is preach from a very famous text in the Bible. It was made famous by a man called William Carey. And that was this passage is his life text. William Carey was a very important man when it comes to Baptist history and missions. He was really the father of today's mission movement in how we go into foreign fields and reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was really the forerunner of all missionaries of that type of ministry that we do nowadays. And he preached this sermon. I should have looked to see what year he preached it. I didn't. But from this sermon that he preached, he had this phrase. He coined this phrase: attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. See, if we attempt great things for God, we should be able to expect great things from God back again. This passage has a lot of truths in it, and I believe this truths will help our church. And I kind of mentioned this in Sunday school this morning. When I say our church, see, when we are part of your church, we're in Japan. Well, now, granted, we're not members here, but we are an extension of this church. So in that sense, we are you on a foreign field. So when I'm preaching today about our church, I'm preaching to myself, I'm preaching to my wife, but I'm also preaching to each and every one of you. The text calls for Israel to take the gospel to different nations. And they were to do that by lengthening their cords and strengthening their stakes. So let's go to the Bible. It's an Old Testament passage, Isaiah 54. And if you would stand while you're turning to that passage, Isaiah 54. I believe we should. It's biblical that we stand for the reading of God's word. Chapter 54, let's read verses 1 through 3. I think verse 1 is very interesting. We'll get into that in a little bit. Sing, O barren one. Now, how can you sing when you don't have any children? Think about that as we go into the sermon here. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth in singing and cry aloud that thou didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitations. Spare not. Lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, I ask that you bless this message this morning and give me the words that need to be said to encourage the people, to the person that needs a particular encouragement. Lord, help the right words come forth in the right manner that would be pleasing to you. We ask that you bless the sermon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So, this passage was to enlarge the tent. Make the cords to hold the tent longer, to make the tent bigger. But to do that, you got to strengthen the stakes also. So, what we see in this passage is, to make the tent bigger is world missions. As you make your tent bigger, you send out more missionaries out in different parts of the world. And also, while you're doing that, you've got to make the stakes stronger. And I believe in this passage, in the way we're going to look at it today, world missions is to go out into Penobscot. I had trouble learning that word. In the next county, I don't know. But anyway, we need to go out into the fields. And that's where the enlarging the tent is. But if you enlarge the tent, you got to strengthen the stakes. And in this passage, as we go through it, I believe strengthening the stakes, deepening the stake, is to review and firm up our doctrinal belief. There's got to be a compassion for the people that need to be reached, and there must be courage to get out and to reach those people. But we also have to have the courage to stand for what is biblically right. What does the Bible say? What is right? What is wrong? We've got to be able to stand for the right things and have the courage to stand for those things. Our world is heading off in a direction that it shouldn't be, and we need to be able to stand up against the world with compassion and help change the direction of the world. Therefore, we must enlarge our tent. We, each and every one of us, must enlarge our tent. How are we going to enlarge our tent? There's 2 points that I want to go through today that will explain how we can enlarge our tent. The first one is lengthen the cords. That's a strategy for reaching more people. Lengthen the cords. That's a strategy to be able to reach more people. Look at verses 2 and 3. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitations. Spare not. Lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Look at the words of the phrase there in verse 2. Enlarge the place of thy tent. See, we as people need to be moving forth out of our community, in our community, into the neighboring areas, lengthening our cords, getting out into the neighborhoods and witnessing to the people. We need to spread to the gospel to the people that who have not heard. That includes sending out missionaries, but primarily that's for us here in Corinth. That is an encouragement for us to get out in the community to witness about Jesus Christ. There are many people here in our community that have not heard. And I would dare to venture there's probably some people here in the community that have never heard the words Jesus Christ except in a cuss word. We need to be getting out into the community to do that. To enlarge our tent, it's going to take a recommitment to the call of God in our own personal lives. It requires faith. Now, think about this. In these first 3 verses that we just read, think about this. In the old times, they had tents. And in those days, it was very important to have children. And if you didn't have children, you were looked down upon society. It's basically the lady of the house, or the tent in that case, were looked down, very looked down upon about not having children. So here's the man of the tent going out. And the first thing you do when the lady gets pregnant and it is announced out in the community, or at some point in there, the man is out there making the tent bigger for this little baby that's going to come along in 9 months or whatever. Here is a man that's out making his tent bigger, and his wife's still barren. She's not make the announcement yet that she's got a baby coming forth. Now that takes faith. Think about Abraham when Sarah, when he received the promise from God, I believe that he went out and made his tent bigger. But what was it? 30, 40 years after the fact, before he had that child that was his wife? You know, that took faith on his part, and it takes faith on our part to lengthen our cords. If we don't have the faith, we can't lengthen our cords, but we need to lengthen our cords to reach the people. If we don't have that faith, we're not going to reach the people. Strengthen your faith. Everywhere in the New Testament, we see that the church was growing, it was spreading, it was going out into the community actively, spreading the gospel. The people were being reached and people were being saved. This time when I read through my New Testament twice a year, This time when I've gone through Acts, and I probably miss some verses. Next time through, I'll catch the ones I miss. But everywhere that talks about people were saved and baptized, if it's got a number, I'll write the number out in my margin. If it doesn't have a number, I put XX people. And I want to go back and look. There were people throughout Acts, almost every chapter in Acts, you see that people were being reached. That should be an example for us to follow. We need to be reaching people here in Corinth on a weekly basis. Now, I'm not saying it's a bad thing if we don't have people that come to the altar on Sunday morning and get saved every Sunday. That would be great. I think the pastor would just, he would be overjoyed, and I think all of you would be overjoyed, and I think you would be jumping up and down with praise. But that's not going to happen if we, as individuals, don't get out and talk to people, build a relationship with people, to be able to bring them into the church and hear the gospel. If we do that, people will come and people will get saved. There are three small points that I want to talk about how the church can lengthen their cords. First of all, it's going to take courage. It's going to take courage. Look at verse 1. Sing, O barren, thou that did not spare. Break forth into singing and cry aloud that thou didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Look at that part in verse 1. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not break forth. Cry aloud. Break out into singing. That's going to take courage. Here is the barren woman, and the man's lengthened his cords and made the tent bigger, and she's gone out, she started singing. And all the other ladies are probably, well, what's wrong with this lady? She's not had any kids yet, and she's out there, she's the barren one. She's the one that's ridiculed, looked down upon. And she, the verse says, go out and sing. That's going to take courage. That's going to take courage for us to get out into the neighborhoods and the communities to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. That in itself goes against the grain or the flow of what's going on in today's society. I don't know, do you have salmon that come up in the creeks and rivers here? Are we far enough for that to happen? You don't think so? I get a head nodding yes, and some are saying yes and no, and we're bothered. In Japan, up north where we're at right now, in the springtime, the salmon run, whatever time of the year the salmon run, they come there to all the rivers there in our prefecture. Prefecture is basically like a state. They run up. They get way up in the mountains. Now, you've got all this river flowing down the mountain, tons and tons of water flowing, and this fish is fighting against the flow to get to the headwaters where it's calm to lay the eggs. They got to jump up waterfalls, and some of the waterfalls that they jump up are pretty big. They've got to go against the flow. Today's society, the flow is in a different direction. And we as Christians have got to stand and fight and swim against that flow. And that can be difficult. You know, when you see the salmon, when they get up there to lay those eggs, they're beat and bruised because they've hit rocks, they've been knocked in and everything. And when we get out there and witness, sometimes we come back, we feel all beaten up and bruised. But I want to encourage you. Don't worry about that. God will take care of you. Just get out and go against the river. Go against the stream. Go against the culture. Keep your hand here. We're going to be back. Turn to 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians chapter 2. First Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 4. But as we were allowed of God and to put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not pleasing men. Underline that part. Not pleasing men. Paul went out to give the gospel to the people there, not as pleasing men, but God. which trieth our hearts. We need to get out in the community and don't worry about what men are going to say. Don't worry about the men. We need to get out and worry about what God tells us to do. God is our person that we need to worry about. Don't worry about these other people. Sometimes other people, what they say and do and treat me bothers me. But I can't let that bother or let that be a hindrance to me from going out and giving the gospel. We need to obey God. Lengthen the cords, a strategy for reaching more people. First, we saw it's going to take courage. Next is it's going to take cooperation. It's going to take cooperation. And verse 2, enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. Look at the phrase there, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. World evangelism is more than just a few people. Now, very few of you could go to Japan, let alone get to Japan as a missionary, and then you've got to learn the language and everything else, that the culture that and eat the sushi and everything else that the Japanese eat. Very few of you can do that. We can do that. So that's part of you lengthening your stakes. But what I'm trying to get the point here, it's cooperation. See, we can go do that. And we can cooperate with you, and you can cooperate with us. By doing that, we can get world missions done in Japan, in the other countries where you support other missionaries. I want to encourage you to work in Corinth yourself. You can do that. I can't come back to Corinth very often and work here and help you with your evangelism here in Corinth. But you can do that. I can. So it takes cooperation. We all can help each other. Look at Philippians 1:27. Let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else I be absent, and that I may hear of your affairs. Paul is saying, I may be able to get there, I may not be able to get there, but I want to be able to hear good things about you. That ye stand, and this is what he wanted to hear, that ye stand fast in one spirit. That's cooperation. That's helping each other. That you stand forced in one spirit with one mind, striving. Think about the Olympic people that train. They're striving for a goal. That's what our goal is, to strive to reach Corinth. Our goal is to reach Penobscot, Maine, and Japan, the world. That's what we need to strive for. Finish the verse. That ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That's what we need to do. We can work together and get the missions done. And when you work together, the job is easier. Now, I was stationed in Misawa, Japan. I was in the Navy for 20 years. And I don't know if who's out here has got military time, but there are Air Force pilots, Army guys that have more sea time than I do. I have 20 years in the Navy, I have zero sea time. I was stationed in Misawa, Japan for three different tours. And the first tour I was there, remember this, what's a real good example of cooperation. We had a car of four men, me being one of them. We're coming all four off a shift, going home, and it had been snowing. And there was probably, I don't know, 4-6 inches of snow on the road. And you could see there was a couple roads we went down. Nobody had been down those roads yet. It was late at night. And we turned down the road, and here were tracks of a car, and we could see it weaving from one side to the other side up the road. Man, that guy, and it went around the corner, and that was the corner we had to turn. You see it weaving, and it fell off in a ditch. Now, the ditches in Japan are about this wide. They're made out of concrete and about this deep. And if you drop your tires off in that, you bottom out the car and you can't get out. You know, here, if you drive off into a ditch, you can probably drive back out. There, no, you're stuck. So we saw the tracks of the car weave and drop off into the ditch. And then we could distinctly see the tracks where the person got out of the car, had staggered around, fallen down a couple of times, and staggered up the street and disappeared off into the darkness. So all of us kind of looked at each other. Now, I guess I need to explain that this was a mini car. You couldn't do this to an Oldsmobile unless you had more than four people. This is a mini car. It's got probably a 200, 300 cc engine in it. And the motorcycles are bigger than the engine in this car. This car is not that heavy, 600 pounds maybe. So we all kind of look at each other, all got a grin on our face. And we all hopped out of the car, all of us in cooperation, picked up the car and set it back in the road. And now I would love to have been there, a snowflake, to watch this man come back with his friends to get his car out of his ditch. They were probably saying, "You were drunk and you don't remember. You just got out of the car and went, I don't know what happened." But it was cooperation. I couldn't have picked that car out by myself. And that's what our work is here in Corinth. You can't go out into Corinth and witness to other people without some tracks. Somebody's got to pick up the tracks. It takes cooperation. And when you come here to do witnessing, the pastor and other people have got to coordinate things so you can go out. It takes cooperation. If you all cooperate together, you can reach the community for Jesus Christ. So we see that we need to lengthen the cords. It's a strategy to reach more people. It's going to take courage, and it's going to take cooperation. The third point was it's going to take compassion. It's going to take compassion. Verse 6 and 7. Back to Isaiah 54, verse 6 and 7. "For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith the Lord. For a small moment I have forsaken thee, but with great mercies I will gather thee." Look at the phrase there where it says, "With great mercies I will gather thee." God shows great mercy to the people that were forsaken. That's the people that's out in the world in sin condition. We were all there at one point. Remember what it was like to be back then? We need to remember what it was like. Not to dwell on our past and enjoy or revel in what was back there, but we need to remember what it was like to be in the past so we can have compassion and mercy to the people that are out there now. If we've got that compassion and mercy for the people that are in their forsaken condition where they're at, we will take the gospel to them, and that's what we need to do. It's a compassion for us to begin to pray. It's compassion for us to begin to go. It's compassion for us to lose sleep over these lost souls. Remember in Psalms 126:6, it talks to the he that going forth weeping, praying precious seed shall come again with, I'm not saying that right. Let's go to Psalms. Psalms 126:6. "He that goeth forth and weepeth," that's what we need to do. We need to remember the condition we were at. You know, if I remember what I was like before I got saved, or what I was like when I ran away from God, you know, it makes me weep. We need to weep about the people that are in those lost conditions. "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bring precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing as she's with him." It takes compassion. It takes cooperation. And it takes courage for us to get out into Corinth to witness to people. First of all, we see to enlarge the tent, we lengthen the cords. That's our strategy for reaching more people. Secondly, we need to strengthen the stakes. Strengthen the stakes, a strategy for standing strong. Strengthen the stakes, it's a strategy for standing strong. Look at verse 2 and the second part there. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. The further churches reach out into the world, not only the community here, but around in the world, the more we need to protect our doctrine. Think about it. When we reach out into community and bring lost souls into church and they get saved, they have no clue about doctrine. Many people don't even know Moses or David or other characters in the Bible. Nowadays, they've never heard the Bible. When I was growing up, everybody knew something about the Bible. And I would be surprised if I talked to somebody that didn't know something about the Bible. But nowadays, people know nothing about the Bible. They know nothing about doctrine. So when we bring those people into church and they get saved, we need to be able to disciple them and grow them and teach them correct doctrine. And when the tent gets bigger, it's got to have stronger stakes. I was camping one time in Japan, up in a beautiful crater lake that has 40 feet deep water you could see, or deeper. I don't know how deep you could see into this lake. And was at a campground close, right next to the water. And I had a little pump tent. And it was rocky ground, and you know those little bitty stakes, those little metal stakes, and you try to drive those down and they bend. Well, I'd strain it out and take a rock or a hammer or whatever I had and strain it out and wiggle around the rocks. At least I got it staked down good. There were some people that had one of those dome tents that's got the fiberglass poles that go in the middle. They didn't stake anything down. They just put it up and it would stand there. A little pup tent, you got to have the stakes to keep it standing up. So there were three or four people that had these tents out there. They didn't have any stakes in their tent at all. And here come a thunderstorm and a really sharp wind along with it, and their tents were tumbling out into the lake, and they're jumping in the lake to try to retrieve the tent, and their sleeping bags and everything else was soaked. You've got to get those stakes in the ground. Now, when I was growing up back in a little city called Milo, it's much smaller in Corinth. It was like 600, 700 people. And every summer, and I can't remember what this group was, but they had this big tent, much bigger than, probably twice as big as this auditorium. And when they came into town, you know, all the boys that we were on bicycles, sooner or later would figure they were in town and we would go over there and help them put up this tent. And these stakes were great big stakes, and the men would have to drive them, but they would let us hold the stakes while they get the stakes started. And they had these big ropes, and we helped them put the poles up. But they had to put these big stakes in the ground and drive them down deep. That's what we need to do with our Bible doctrine. We need to get grounded firmly in God's Word so that when we start bringing people in from the community that have no clue about the Bible or Bible doctrine, that we can teach them, disciple them, and help them. But we've got to get our stakes firmly in the ground so when the winds of time come and blow on that tent, blow on our church, it'll stand firm. We need that doctrinal firmness. We can do that. You can do that. Get in your Bible every day. How many days are in the average month? 31? Isn't it amazing that Proverbs has 31 chapters? Pastor's probably driven this point home to you time after time again, and so I'll help him drive it home again. Get into Proverbs. Today was chapter 12. Read, if that's all you can do, read a chapter of Proverbs a day. I guarantee you that will help with your Bible doctrine. But it's not all Bible doctrine, all the Bible doctrine that you need to know, but there's a lot of doctrine, a lot more important, a lot of wisdom in Proverbs. Get in your Bible. Read your Bible. How many of you have read your Bible completely through? I believe that most of you have read your Bible completely through at least one time, but let me encourage you to do that every year. We've got to stand strong and strengthen the stakes. There's three small points we want to talk about strengthening the stakes. First of all, we need to strengthen our doctrinal position. We just talked about that a little bit. Look at verse 5. For thy maker is thy husband, the Lord of hosts is his name. Look at that phrase, the Lord of hosts is his name. I want to encourage you, but I also want to give you a warning. I want to encourage you to evangelize the community. When you're at the gas station and somebody comes up and says hello, and the Maine people are reasonably friendly. I mean, in some places, you know, you say hello to, is it New York? I don't know, you say hello to them, they just walk on down the street. But here, they're friendly, so you can engage people in a conversation. I want to encourage you to engage people in the conversation. But at the same time, we need to be true to the Bible. Be true to the Word of God. We need to be true to our doctrinal positions. It's like those tents that we talked about. If we don't get our doctrine firm in the ground, we're going to collapse as a church. So we need to deepen our doctrinal position. Second, we need to we can strengthen the stakes by modeling Christ. We can strengthen our stakes by modeling Christ. Look at verse 5. For thy maker is thy husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Isn't that Jesus Christ? That's talking about Jesus Christ. He's the Holy One. He's our Redeemer. We can strengthen our stakes by modeling Jesus Christ. I think the pastor is probably, and I believe most of you have prayed about our violin concerts that we've had to there in Japan. And Kimio was talking to one of the ladies after the concert, and they were talking, and the lady knew it was a church, but she did not know what church was making the function of the violin concert. So she finally realized what church we were, and she was a lady that lived in the house right across the street behind the church, right in front of the gardens where we've got, and the lady said, "Oh, it's that church. I've been watching you." And Kimio thought, "Oh, I hope we haven't done anything bad and made a bad witness." People are watching you. They know we are Christians, and they watch us. We need to model Christ. If we give a bad testimony, we can turn people off. You know, here's the problem. My wife talks to me. I've gotten better, truthfully. God has worked in my heart. I've gotten better. But my wife, you know, I'll be driving, and somebody will cut me off or almost hit the car or something. And I'll go, "Look at that idiot." And she goes, "Could you say that to them? And would they be willing to come to church? Or could you ask that person to come to church if he heard you say that?" Probably not. So we got to be careful. If we can model Christ and live as Christ did and be kind and merciful and gracious, that we see in these other verses, we can be a good model and help people to come to Christ, not turn them away. Strengthen our stakes. We need to strengthen our doctrinal position. We need to model Christ. Lastly, we need a recommitment. We need a recommitment. Look at verse 4. Fear not, fear not, and thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shall not remember thy reproach of thy widowhood any more. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed. Thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth. Thou shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. I want you to recommit yourself to this truth. You see, our church will only be as strong as its weakest members. My guess is, at some point, somebody, we all, at least the men, has probably helped pull somebody out of a ditch or out of a snowbank someplace. And we've had to have a chain to do it. And those chain links are got to be like my thumb. They're not going to be like my little finger if you're going to pull a big 4x4 out of a ditch someplace. Each one of these links could represent a member. And if I were to have, my chain were to break and I was to put it back together with a dog chain, wrap the dog chain around and a couple of links to hold it together, I think probably more than likely when I hooked that chain up to another car and started to pull it, that chain where the dog link is going to come apart and break. See, our church is only going to be as strong as its weakest member. Now, I believe this church is a strong church, but we've got various levels of people in their spiritual walk in life. That's not bad. We all started back down here, but as we're going through our years, read our Bible, come to church, we have grown spiritually. There are people in our church that are not, may not be where we are spiritually. We need to be able to encourage that person, get them to grow more in the Lord. Disciple that person. Share scripture with them. Help them. Befriend them. If we strengthen that other person, that chain link will become stronger. We need to deepen our stakes. Stand strong for our word, for the Bible, for our doctrinal position. First, strengthen our doctrinal position. And then we model Christ. We need to recommit to bringing the church forward. Now is not the time to have a division. Now, I wrote this sermon without thinking what you went through a couple years ago, and that's not my point. I wasn't thinking about that at all. We can have petty differences in any group that we get into. Your opinion is going to be different than my opinion. Your opinion is going to be different than that other person's opinion. Everybody's got a different opinion. That's not wrong. God made us different for a reason. We need those differences of opinion. But if we allow those differences to become into a fight, or allow those differences to feel like we've got our toes stepped on, that doesn't strengthen the church. I get hurt. I get my toes stepped on sometimes pretty frequently. This song that we sang, this was it in Sunday school? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Take those, when your feet get stepped on and they get hurt, Proverbs says, bite your tongue, shut up, don't say anything. Just take it to the Lord in prayer. If we can do that, we can strengthen our church. We can help the weakest member in the church. It's not about us. It's about our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's get involved about taking the gospel to other people in our community, into Corinth, into Obnoxcott. We need to get out there. Are you really committed to making the tent bigger? Are we committed about getting out into the community, out further, lengthening our tent, making it bigger? Are we really committed to strengthening our doctrinal position, deepening our stakes, deepening our roots within our church, making them deeper so we can stand firm when the winds of time come and blow against us? Let's all stand. And Mary Jane, if you would, start playing. And I'd ask you to close your eyes and reflect on this. First of all, the most important thing is, have you really made a commitment to Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and accepted Him as your personal Savior? I really don't know all of you, so I don't know where you're at. But if you're not saved, I would encourage you that you would come forward when we have this altar call and get that right with the Lord. If you got odd against another brother, let me encourage you to get that right with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know where you're at in that. Maybe I have offended you. I'm sorry if I have. Maybe this message has touched your heart for getting out into the community and witnessing to people, and you have not done that. Let me encourage you to get that right with the Lord and go out into the community and lengthen the cords.